Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After Joseph had buried his father, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had gone up with him to bury his father. Genesis chapter 50, verse 14. Jacob the patriarch was dead and buried. Now, do you remember why Jacob and his family were in Egypt? When Joseph was just a young man, his father Jacob favored him, and Joseph himself was righteous, just, and he always acted according to God's commands in all that he did. Joseph's brothers caused their father, on the other hand, much heartache. Genesis details the problems the other brothers have with adultery and murder and fornication. Jealous of Joseph being favored by Jacob, they scheme to kill the boy. Let's throw him in the pit. Only to change their minds, selling Joseph instead to Midianite traders who then took and sold Joseph into Egypt in slavery. The brothers cover up their treachery with their father by dipping Joseph's multicolored coat into goat's blood, telling the father that the lie that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. So many years later, all back together in Egypt because of the famine, there is a lot on the conscience of Jacob's sons when they approach Joseph after the burial of their father. After all, Joseph was second in command of all Egypt, only under the Pharaoh. They said, "It may be that he will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." And you want to nod your head to them and say, "Yes, it may be." We wonder, don't we? What would be fair comeuppance for Joseph? He's always been the better man. With our sinful eye and heart, we would think it would only be fair for Joseph to demand retribution, reparations even, for all those years he spent in slavery in Egypt. Then he spent years wrongly imprisoned, biding his time, rotting away in jail, only for the Pharaoh to have Joseph interpret his troubling dreams concerning the famine to come because a former fellow prisoner finally remembered Joseph. Retaliation for all those years he was forced away from his family and his beloved father would make sense to you and me. At the very least, we would think, and our Hollywood writers would write it in this way, that Joseph would get in a zinger of a line that profoundly sends his brothers home with their tail between their legs. In other words, Joseph would get in that last precious last word. That would only be fair, right? In today's gospel, Luke chapter 6, our Lord Jesus says that we are not to judge and condemn our neighbors as if we are in God's place. Joseph was surely tempted to get his fair revenge and right the wrongs against him. This is the problem today with the current cancel culture that seeks to reorder society in a new image, to do away with our nation's history, tradition, even its lawful governance, in the name of their own politically motivated notion of fairness for inequities done in our nation. Instead of getting back at people, Jesus calls us to be merciful, even as our Heavenly Father is merciful, Do not judge, he says. Do not condemn the neighbor. Instead, give to them in a good measure God's good things. Give to their needs. Give some more, and give some more after that. And give that which is most needed, forgiveness. The measure you use, Jesus reminds us, is the one you'll be measured with. God gives to you and forgives you abundantly. Love your neighbor in that way. Judgment and condemnation of sin belong to God's realm, and those on earth whom God calls to do so on his behalf, in particular, to put a check on evil in the world, beginning with parents, then other authorities, including ministers of government who are lawfully placed in office, police, and others. This also includes pastors, who must rightly distinguish law and gospel, who are called to exercise the keys and uphold right doctrine from the scriptures. So there is time to uphold God's law. The hymn said it today, 696, the third stanza. But when within my place I must and ought to speak, then to my words give grace, lest I offend the weak. Even then, we speak with grace. Joseph, even though he was second in command over all Egypt, powerful enough to hold his brother's fate in his hands, does not seek revenge. He does not seek to rewrite his family tree for himself. He could have done that. And to their credit, Joseph's brothers do not come at Joseph with a out of context, judge not lest ye be judged, Joseph. You're not perfect either. People would say today, let us go on our way and do as we please. Only God can judge. And there was no digging up dirt on Joseph, no blaming Joseph for their problems, no trying to cancel Joseph out for being as much or more of a sinner than they are. It's refreshing, really, to see a story of people simply owning up to what they've done and who they are. They said, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. Please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And exactly as God had shown Joseph in his dreams as a boy, the brothers bowed down to him, and they said, behold, we are your slaves. And you know, when they called themselves his slaves, if the story ended there, we'd all say, yeah, that's fair. Let them be slaves to Joseph. Eye for an eye, after all. Not so fast. Joseph is the blessed saint who believes in the Christ to come and acts accordingly. All his actions in Genesis are shadows and images of the Christ to come. Time and again, Joseph suffered injustice while he was innocent, and he did so without complaint every time. Now Joseph follows the words of our Lord. He forgives in good measure, and he heaps goodness and love upon his brothers. Do not fear, he says, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and for your little ones. Give, and it will be given to you. Thus he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Man makes a poor substitute for God as judge. But whenever possible, man should dole out the forgiveness and mercy God has first measured to him. Joseph exemplifies this. Jesus tells us this. Ascending up out of our place to be a judge when we are not called is to become hypocrites who can't see the log of sin in our own eye. We sinners so easily self-justify ourselves over and against the neighbor. We cancel the neighbor out in our heart and our mind. We learn to hate the neighbor for what we perceive to be wrong with them. And then we do not pray for them. And then we will be the blind being led by our blind teacher. And we'll be no better than that teacher, the devil, who leads us into the pit of sorrow and misery, depression and anger, hatred and bitterness. And into the pit, yes, that has led to man's inhumanity against man, from Stalin's purges and Hitler's Holocaust, to enslaving Africans early in this country's history, to Islamic terrorism, to today's cancel culture, picking out all the perceived enemies who do not favor what the politically correct mob favors or desires. It's all out of the same cloth. If you want to substitute for God, do not do so by exercising vengeance or judgment upon those around you. Stand instead by faith in the body of Christ, united with and following behind the one who became your merciful substitute, your great Joseph, who endured the punishment and canceling out that we deserved for our transgressions and sin. Learn from him to endure all things patiently and without complaint, knowing that the sufferings of this present time, friends, are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. You have been adopted as God's sons, your soul and body redeemed in the waters of holy baptism. In Christ, you will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Our Lord has secured all things for you by his grace and mercy. So he calls on you today to win each day that you are blessed with here on this earth, even as it groans along in its futility and sin, and even as foolish people drive it further and further into chaos. Instead, we Christians win each day, that is, stand as Christ, man or woman, on the spot to which you are called, and win the place where you are at on the battlefield, not with vengeance and condemnation and retribution, but with the things of God and the things of Christ our Lord. His love, his self-giving nature, his forgiveness. Did Joseph stand in the place of God? When he forgave his brothers, yes, he most certainly did. God grant you and me the power to do the same where we are at each day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.